We make preparations to hear the Gospel of Mark today. If you are able, I would invite you to stand. Hear these words that the writer of Mark has for us today. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then he called the crowd with the disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world and forsake their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives, our living. Oh God, now in these moments that we share together, we pray that your presence will rest upon us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to give us a sense of rest and peace from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, oh God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus Christ was on a mission. He began his mission the day he was born. And his mission was to offer to us as human beings a way back to God because of our separation from God through sin. Jesus Christ had the authority to forgive, the power to redeem, and the love to offer salvation to us all. His disciples were just a little bit clueless. They were hoping for, they were looking towards, they were expecting a Messiah who would come and who would fight against and overturn the power of the Roman government and army. But Jesus knew that these disciples of his could just not grasp hold of what he was saying, and he knew that when he started talking to them about his death, that they would just really go off the end and not have any idea what he was talking about, and yet he sent it anyways. Planting seeds about his life for the future harvest. Preparing the ground within the disciples' hearts and minds and spirits to hopefully bloom into faith that would be needed in the days ahead. The openness and the forthright words that Jesus was talking about his suffering and rejection, well, it just pushes Peter over the edge. Peter, we're told, actually pulled Jesus aside The Bible does not always include small details like this. It doesn't include them for nothing. And when it does, we ought to pay attention. As strong as Peter was most times, although he was the one who frequently engaged his mouth before his brain, he did not want Jesus to be looking weak in front of the disciples. And so he pulls Jesus aside to try to help him before he begins to speak some more words that just might possibly demoralize the disciples. And so Jesus pulls him aside to speak to him because too much was at stake within the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus must have cut Peter off. For the scriptures say that Peter began to reprimand Jesus, but Jesus, seeing where this wall was going and what was going on, he interrupted Peter. And verse 33 says, by turning and looking at his disciples. Now come on, you've all experienced that, either from mom or dad or from a spouse. When you know, when they turn and look at you eyeball to eyeball, something is coming. I remember this past Christmas Eve, there was a lot of activities going on and things were taking place and trying to get done. And someone, I said something and then I needed to go and they started. And I just knew kind of what was going on and thought they wanted to chew and bite on my ear, but I didn't have time, and so I did not turn around and look at them eyeball to eyeball, and I'm just not sure what would have happened if I would have. But Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. We've all had mom or dad grab hold of us and say, or a spouse and say, it's a come to Jesus meeting right now. You better shut your mouth and you need to listen. Talk about a come to Jesus meeting from Jesus. Whoo! One of the moms said to me, oh yeah, we've had to have a few of those with our kids. And when the husband gets involved and says, it is time for a come to Jesus meeting, you better pay up and listen. And the kid said, I've had one of those talks before. Must not have clicked that time. Then Jesus goes on to reprimand Peter. And in so doing, Jesus is addressing the spirit that is driving Peter's action. And so Jesus just looks at him and says, you get behind me, Satan. It must have been a shock for Peter to hear those words. But Jesus has clearly identified the enemy, and it was in Peter. And if this enemy had surfaced in Peter, who was one of the top three disciples of Jesus, that small inner circle, if that temptation and spirit can get in Peter, then folks, that spirit can get in us as well. Satan earlier had tempted Jesus, had tempted him with earthly riches, and now Satan was involved with his own disciple Peter. He had infiltrated Peter's thinking. He had infiltrated the inner 12, the inner 3. And he was seeking now to challenge Jesus and to offer him that temptation to avoid the suffering that Jesus was approaching, to avoid his destiny altogether. But Jesus would have none of this. And he immediately identified the enemy. And because of the offer of the way to avoid what God had already ordained, Jesus went at it full force. And Jesus remembered that in the end of his 40 days of his time in the wilderness, his temptations, that Jesus was tempted for food and material possessions, and now the temptation coming at him was to avoid suffering. Jesus sets that challenge out in the open. Peter, you're seeing things from a human standpoint, not from God's point of view. And then Jesus throws out the challenge, follow me or perish. Lose your life or save it. Deny yourself pleasures and things in this world. Take up your cross. Get ready to die to yourself and follow me. Profit is of no gain. It is not life-giving. It is not eternal. And those who choose worldly things over Jesus Christ and deny him, then Jesus says, when my time comes, then you will be rejected as well. Now Peter, Jesus makes an example of Peter in the crowd, in front of the crowd, in front of all of history. For the sake of those who have come into his presence and also need to be reprimanded. My friends, that reprimand is, it is the temptation of telling Jesus what to do instead of listening. It's a temptation to pull Jesus aside and to seek to keep him from being who he has come into the world to be. It's a powerful moment for Jesus and Peter and his disciples and those other believers that are around. But notice something critically important. In the next few stories, Jesus goes up on the mountain and he is there transfigured with his three closest disciples, James, John, and Peter. So Peter, even having gone through this moment of this incredible reprimand from Jesus Christ, get behind me, Satan, is still there. Oh, I remember a time. It was in the summer, and Mom and I got angry at each other. And so I packed a few things, and I ran off into the woods. I was running away. I was done with her. I was done with this. And I'm going to live with my great aunt. I know where she lives. I can get there. After all, it's three houses away. But I knew how to cut through the woods because I was too young to walk up the road by myself. I knew how to cut down through the woods and go back to the spring and follow the other spring up and cut through the swamp in the other backyards. And I could come out at Aunt Lou's on the backside of the garden, on the backside behind her sheds, and I could get to her door that we always entered. And I knew that Aunt Lou would welcome me with wide open arms. But I also knew that Aunt Lou's husband had been a minister, and I knew that eventually she was going to make me go home. But I also knew, as I was sitting there in the woods before I even got to Aunt Lou's home, that I started remembering that it was the house I was looking at where I had a room. And I had a bed, and I had a soft pillow, and I had clean clothes, and I had three meals a day, and I had siblings, and I had a mom and a dad, and it was there that I knew that I was loved and cared for. And so I went home. And Peter, knowing that he had had a reprimand of all reprimands, knew that he could return and still be in the presence of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That indeed his sins were forgiven and he was restored to health and wholeness in his relationship. Today, this meal comes to us as well. That even after we've received a reprimand for our sins, for our shortcomings, for our humanness, that Christ still welcomes us with wide open arms and says, I gave my life for you and your sins are forgiven. Come home. And indeed, there is joy and celebration just as the Father welcomed that prodigal son into his presence. Welcome home. Receive grace and forgiveness. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is grace and forgiveness. There are turning points in our lives. There is good news. We are always welcome in your holy presence. Oh God, continue to work your wonders in us, body, mind, and spirit. For it's in Christ our Lord that we pray. Amen.